if the student is studying at a university in Canada and they've done their full degree with us, so they've spent at least 3 to 4 years with an institution, after they graduate, they're eligible to stay in Canada for up to 3 years on something called a postgraduate work permit.
This is Let's Talk Higher Ed, a podcast for high school counselors and university admissions representatives worldwide who aim to help connect students to their dream schools. In each episode, we hold candid conversations with our community of students, their counselors, and universities to discuss everything from dealing with anxious parents to ensuring a seamless transition to university life. Let's get started.
Well, welcome to Let's Talk Higher Ed podcast. I'm your host, Tim Mullen, Senior Director of Education Partnerships at CIALFO. CIALFO supports counselors with our powerful and simple to use platform, helping counselors and students save time and making higher education more accessible worldwide. We also support universities. CIALFO is your trusted partner to help you find right fit undergraduate students from the largest network of international high schools. On today's podcast, we're joined by Natasha Bielewicz, Assistant Director of International Student Recruitment at the University of Toronto. We're going to be talking about applying to Canada and why it is such an attractive place for students to study. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Tim. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's just jump right into it. Why is Canada so attractive for students to look at for higher education opportunities?
I think there's a couple of reasons why students around the world consider Canada for their university studies. I think one is that we're well known as having a very strong quality of education across the entire country. We're mostly a public university and college system in Canada, and so we demand as taxpayers here a high quality of our institutions across the country. So no matter where a student ends up in Canada, you're going to get a solid education, and it's all about the best fit for them when it comes to programs and opportunities. But knowing that they have that quality of education in their pocket when they're coming to study in Canada, I think is one of the best features. I think secondly, a lot of universities in Canada offer students a lot of flexibility when it comes to programming. And so students who are maybe undecided in terms of what they're thinking of studying, whether it's, you know, a chemistry degree or a philosophy degree, they could do both at institutions in Canada. So we have very flexible degree programs for students to study. We also have a lot of opportunities for students to get some relevant work experience built into their degree. So getting work experience in Canada, whether it's tied to an academic program formally or just an opportunity for students in the summertime or even while they're studying, there's opportunities for them to get that experience while they're with us. And then there's, of course, opportunities to stay in Canada after graduation. So staying on a postgraduate work permit after they graduate is a great option for them if they're looking to get some Canadian work experience built in too.
Absolutely. Very diverse country. You're obviously one of the largest countries in the world, East Coast, West Coast. Any general advice for a student looking for fit, just basically geography based in Canada?
Yeah, I would say there's a few things to consider. We have, as you said, a very diverse country. So we have large urban metropolitan centers, and then we've got a lot of rural opportunities or smaller city opportunities for students. So I think if they're looking at institutions in Canada, they may want to consider what kind of experience are they looking for? Are they looking for that big city kind of urban experience, or are they looking for something a little bit smaller? That's a little bit more like a college town kind of experience. We have those in Canada too. So it runs the gamut. You've got Vancouver on the West Coast, Halifax on the East Coast, and then Toronto and Montreal kind of in the middle, along with Calgary and Edmonton over in Western Canada too. So it kind of just depends on what a student's looking for, but we have a little bit of everything.
Yeah. So when you're looking at the best fit, obviously that goes into it, and that urban setting or maybe more rural setting. And again, you stretch from the Atlantic Ocean all the way to the Pacific. Let's talk about general qualifications for admissions into Canadian universities.
What you're going to find with most Canadian institutions is when we're considering students for admission, the focus for us for most of our programs is going to be on your academics or on a student's academic performance in high school. So for the most part, there's no requirements for things like letters of recommendations or personal statements or those big kind of college essays that a student might put together for another university. You're not typically going to find many of those in Canada. There will be a few programs. They might be competitive programs within an institution or maybe one or two institutions across the country that do require some of that supplemental information. But the vast majority of us are looking really at a student's high school performance and more specifically their final 2 years of high school. So that junior year and senior year, their grade 11 and grade 12 year.
Any special qualifications for certain programs? We talked a little bit earlier about engineering. Anything that I need to be made aware of or pay special attention to?
Yeah, I would say certainly a student looking at science or business or engineering related programs in Canada will want to pay particular attention to prerequisite courses for admission, because this is what's where we might differ from other countries that a student might be applying to. So for example, a lot of engineering programs in Canada, regardless of the kind of engineering program you're interested in studying, will require things like physics, chemistry, and calculus. So those three courses, even if you're not going, if you're going into like a materials engineering program or industrial, you're still going to need those three courses from high school and in your final year of high school to be admitted to a lot of engineering programs in Canada. The other thing that I would highlight too is for many of our business programs and general science programs, we require math for admission. And a lot of universities in Canada, especially competitive universities, are looking specifically for calculus as well. So things like pre-calc may not get you into some of our science and business-based programs. We're looking for that full calculus for their final year.
Am I applying for programs or can I go as a general admit first year? How does that usually work in Canada?
So typically we have students apply to general program areas or admission categories. So you might apply to something like health sciences or life sciences. And at the end of your first year or your second year is when you would actually declare a specific major that you want to study at the institution. So you're generally applying to kind of a broad program category for your first year. You'll do a general first year where you might take some, you know, if you're applying to sciences, you'll take some core science classes in your first year. If you're applying to an arts program, then you're usually like kind of open into what you can take in your first year. And then it's not until your first or second, end of your first or second year where you're actually going to declare your major. So we give students a lot of time to come in and kind of feel their way around, explore their interests, and then decide on what they're interested in studying afterwards.
Got it. One of the things that I learned about early on about Canadian universities were co-op programs. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it's a great option in Canada. In fact, our institutions across the country, we pioneered co-op programs at the post-secondary level. So what you're going to find with the traditional co-op program or cooperative education, that's the full title, is your paid work experiences built into your undergrad degree. So students in certain programs can get anywhere from, typically the structure is 2 to 3 4-month paid work terms. So a student coming into an engineering program, for example, at a university might take their summer term or their summer, which is 4 months long in Canada, which is also a nice feature, and take that and work for a company full time, get paid salary, and then come back to the university and continue their degree studies. Some universities have adjusted this a little bit. So you might find 1-year work opportunities where a student actually takes a year off of school, works for a company full time for that year, and then comes back to the university to continue their studies. But what we do, especially with these co-op programs, is we have companies that come to our universities every year to look for students from certain programs to help fill their needs. And we also help prepare the students. So we work with them on their resumes, their cover letters. We do mock interviews with them because it is still a competitive process to get a position. So it gives them real life experience in university that they can then take with them after their studies. And we have found specifically at the University of Toronto, for example, that about 70% of our students that do a co-op work term will actually graduate from the university with a degree in hand, or with a job offer in hand, a degree and a job offer. Which is great. So they have a lot of opportunities to build their networks in their field of study while they're with us, and then can take that and translate that into some real work opportunities when they graduate.
Right. Now, does that, if I'm in a co-op program, two follow-up questions. Is it more competitive to get into those programs versus maybe a non-co-op program? And does it add more time to me getting my degree?
So to answer your first question, yes, it can be more competitive to get into the co-op option because typically students can apply to a co-op option directly out of high school. So on our application forms, you'll be able to indicate that you're interested in the co-op version. A lot of the times, though, if a student is maybe not competitive for the co-op version of the program, universities can consider them for the non-co-op option and still get their foot in the door at the school. And there may be opportunities to join the co-op program while they're with us later on. So at the end of their first year, they may be able to jump into the co-op program there. But yes, it can be a little bit more competitive for admission into the co-op stream of whatever a student's interested in studying. And then your second question was about
timelines. Does it take me long to finish up the degree?
It can. So it depends on the institution and how they structure their programs. So some institutions might be trimestered, meaning students can go to school for 2 semesters and work for a 3rd semester. But if they don't end up taking a work opportunity for that semester, maybe they can go to school full-time for that semester and then work again. So it depends on how a school is structured. Generally speaking, I would say it can take up to 1 year longer to do a full co-op program, but it really depends on the school. Some of us can do those in 4, 4.5 years. Some of us can do them in 5.
But you're getting that great work experience. And as you said, you have some opportunities post-graduation for that first employment. Canada has been known, and I'm wondering if it's still the same as far as opportunities for international students to stay beyond their studies and possibly get a work visa. What's the latest on that?
So if the student is studying at a university in Canada, and they've done their full degree with us, so they spent at least 4 years with the institutions, 3 to 4 years with an institution, after they graduate, they're eligible to stay in Canada for up to 3 years on something called a postgraduate work permit. The nice thing about the postgraduate work permit as well is that's not tied to a specific position. So a student can apply for the postgraduate work permit when they graduate, and because it's not tied to a job, they don't have to have that job offer in hand to get the work permit. So they can stay in Canada. They can use the resources at our institutions, like our career centers after graduation, to help them look for work if they want to just stay. And they'll be able to do that for up to 3 years. And it also allows them to switch job opportunities as well. So they could start in one job for a year and then switch to another job after that first year and not have any issues with their postgraduate work permit.
Well, that's really great. Well, let's jump right into the application process. What are some general overarching timelines? And again, we know UT has its timeline, but generally speaking for Canadian university, what's the general time?
So for most of us, our applications will open in the early fall. So around end of September, kind of beginning of October is when most of us will have our applications open. Typically, deadlines for Canadian universities tend to be a little bit later than other places. So you might find hard deadlines on applications in January, for example. So in January of the final year of high school. For some of us, we encourage students to apply a little bit early, because the other thing to know with Canadian schools, beyond that our timelines can be a little bit longer or later, is that the application process is done in 2 steps. And so the first step is typically just an online application that a student tells us, where they tell us about who they are, where they're from, where they want to study, and what they want to study. And that's all they're including on an initial application. It's really just flagging to the university, like, hey, I'm interested in coming to your school. Here's my information. And then what we do is we respond back to the student and say, great, thank you for your application. Now you've got to submit all of your required documents. And so it definitely takes a little bit of extra time to complete the Canadian applications, because they start first just online and then submit the rest of their documents to each institution. So that's the one most important thing to remember, is that timelines are can be a little bit later. But also that the application is done in 2 steps.
Gotcha. Now, we know Ontario is a popular destination for students. You have a special application portal. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. And in the province of Ontario, there's 23 public universities that students can apply to using a common application that we call the Ontario Universities Application Center, or the OUAC application. So a student can fill out this one application and apply to all 23 university options, public university options here in the province of Ontario. And that application follows a similar sort of 2-step process, where the students do the online application and then will end up submitting their documents to each institution they've applied to on the application form. There are a couple of things that we get, like sort of common questions that we get from students who apply through the OUAC application, because the application that the students are using is an application that's used by a lot of different kinds of students from around the world. So there's lots of questions on there that high school students actually don't need to answer. So for example, there's a section on there that we always get questions about activities and employment. So it's typically done for students who have taken a gap year or students who have been out of school for a long time, where they'll get to describe the activities that they took part in when they weren't in school. So if they graduated 1 year and were applying the following year, they can describe what they did in that gap year on that section. That's actually not meant for current high school students. So if a student is in their final year of high school and applying to our universities, they actually don't have to fill out that section. That often trips them up quite a bit when they're on it. They're sort of panicking and thinking that they need to do it, and they don't. It's really just for students that have been out of high school for a significant amount of time. And one of the other questions that we get often from students is whether or not they need to have their high school documents assessed through a separate third-party agency. So that question is posed to students on the OUAC application as well, but the high school students don't need to do that either. So as long as they're applying from like an internationally accredited institution, they can just submit their documents to each institution afterwards. But other than those two sort of common questions that we get, it's a very, very straightforward and easy application for students to complete.
Got it. Well, thanks, Natasha, for all of that. That's some really, really great information there. Let's talk about study permits, English language requirements that might be needed by international students.
Sure. So if a student's first language is not English, many of us will have a request for a student to submit proof of English proficiency. And again, that's something that's going to be specific to each institution. So I definitely recommend students check the policies and the different qualifications and criteria. Sometimes the qualifications will require a specific English proficiency test, and each of us in Canada will accept a whole slew of different tests. And then some of them also may be satisfied by a student's academic background. So if they're taking an IB English, or if they've done IGCSE English, for example, or if they've been studying at a high school, you know, for 3 or 4 years where English is the language of instruction. So there are different ways that students can satisfy that criteria, but that could definitely be a requirement for a student. And again, each of our institutions are going to be a little bit different on what we're looking for acceptable qualifications.
Okay. Any lasting advice, tips, tricks, resources that you want to share with students out there thinking about applying to Canada?
Yeah, I would say a couple of things. One is, even though our timelines may be a little bit later, so actual hard deadlines may not be until January kind of thing, I don't recommend students wait that late to apply for admission. So I would consider, you know, if the students, even looking at U.S. universities, for example, and November 1st is a big, big deadline for them to get U.S. stuff in, they can get all of those in and then turn their mind to Canada, but don't turn it too late. So I would say as soon as you finish like U.S. applications, my advice to students is typically like, give yourself a couple of days break, have a nap, like get your rest, and then focus on Canada. Because of that two-step application process, students can initiate the application pretty early on. And then the earlier they do that, just a bigger window, they get a bigger window in terms of submitting their required documents, making sure that we have everything on time, that their applications are complete. It just gives them a bit more reassurance to get everything done on time for Canadian applications. So applying a little bit earlier than the actual hard deadline, I think is going to be the key thing to note. The other thing I would recommend is if a student is an international student, so not a Canadian citizen or permanent resident of Canada, once they know which institution they're coming to in Canada and they've accepted that offer of admission, they start looking into the study permit application process. Because depending on where a student is applying from, it can take anywhere from 4 weeks to upwards of 12 or 13 weeks, we've heard, for students to get their study permits approved to come to Canada. So I definitely recommend students start that process as early as they can. They can't really do it until they accept an offer of admission, because part of the application requires students to notify the Canadian government of where they're coming to study and how much it's going to cost and all of that. So it typically can't happen until next summer anyway, or the following summer after they graduate. But the earlier they can start that as well, the more time they give themselves to get that processed in time to arrive in September.
Things only get more exciting once you've accepted offer. There's still a lot to be done. So make sure that you're proactive with that. Do I have to like hockey or know anything about hockey to come to Canada?
I would say no, but I think being a basketball fan might help. The Toronto Raptors are sort of the national team, and they've won a bit more than any of our local hockey teams have won in the past maybe 10 or 20 years. So I'd say being a sports fan is helpful, but definitely not a requirement.
And you do have to prepare and bring a couple jackets. Is that advisable when coming to Canada?
Yes, we have. What I like to tell students is we experience generally across Canada like 4 full seasons of weather typically. So, you know, we're cold and snowy in the wintertime. For the most part, not all parts of Canada are that way. But for the most part, a lot of us are cold and snowy in the wintertime, hot and humid in the summertime, and then everything in between in the spring and the fall. My general advice to students, though, especially if they're coming from hot places or places where they're not used to having any colder weather, is wait until you get to Canada to buy your winter gear. Because the winter gear, depending on where you're buying it from, may not be as good as the winter gear that you might get when you're here. So you'll have time to do it. September is a lovely time of year across all of Canada. So you'll have time to stock up on any necessary supplies when you're here. But wait until you get here to get that, just to make sure that you're going to be set for the winter.
That's a great piece of advice. No sense putting that all in your luggage. Get here, figure out what's happening there. I'm sure there's some great deals and a lot of great advice about clothing and other aspects of moving into Canada. Well, thank you, Natasha. I appreciate your time today.
Thanks so much for having me. It was lovely to chat with you about options in Canada. Delighted to be here.
Awesome. Well, great. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Let's Talk Higher Ed. This show is brought to you by Cielfo, a fast-growing global edtech company and student-first career exploration and college application network. If you enjoyed this episode, then follow Let's Talk Higher Ed wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Or join us online at cielfo.co/podcast for all of the latest episodes.